And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Do you know that this program is, we've already celebrated the anniversary, but over 11 years for this program alone. I just celebrated my 39th year in this business and interviewing for nearly as long, which is just utterly astounding to me. In addition to the fact that I have a friend of mine who is a dear friend. I've known him since seventh grade. We actually connected in seventh grade. No, it was sixth. I remember Mrs. Larson's class. I remember now. And so I've known him for 50 years. Wow, 50 years. Does the time fly when you're having fun, does it not? However, I also have been celebrating the life of a dear friend who I've known for 30 years in this business in particular. Passed away back on 9/12/18, September 12th of 2018. By the way, if you are into numerology and things of that nature, every single one of those numbers is divisible by 3, and it all totals up to 3, which is very interesting that he chose to go at that time. But I miss him a lot. I still hear his voice in my head calling out to me, "Hey, bald brudda." We both shave our heads, or did anyway, and I still do. I started in 2001, and he'd been doing it long before I had even met him, and thought, he says, "You know, you ought to shave your head." And this is when I had long hair and a ponytail. And I don't know. He says, "But you have a great skull for it." And I never thought of it in that context. And I've been told, yeah, you do. So anyway, but reminiscing and all of those good things. But today, and I have to tell you that each one of those reminiscences, I think that's a word. I'm going to check with my guest to make sure that's a word. But each one of these recollections does bring a lightness, a lightheartedness, if you will, a joy, a happiness. That's what it brings. It brings a happiness. And speaking of which, I'm going to bring on the phone right now a returning guest. I'm very excited to have him on the program today. He is the author of Immediate Happiness, and immediately bringing on Anil Gupta. Thank you so much for rejoining us here on the program. It's been like 4 or 5 years, I think.
No, Richard, it can't be that long.
I'll check during the program, and I'll let you know for sure. Maybe it's only been 2 years. Needless to say,
it may feel like 5.
Well, I have to tell you that it's great to hear your voice again and talk with you and share the concepts and the insights that you share within the within the pages of Immediate Happiness. And folks, I'm going to give you the website right now because I don't want you to wait. Immediatehappiness.com. Gee, it's that easy. And I know that when we talked the first time, we did some defining of terms. I think we'll do that again here on the program, but I have to tell you that, you know, as I was reminiscing over all of those landmarks in my life, and of course, just doing this program is a great joy for me because I get to not only reacquaint, but I get to acquaint myself with new people as well and new ideas. And we've got some great stuff coming up in the coming months. One guest I do want to let our listeners know that's coming up in November, possibly early December. Greg Braden, he's going to make a return visit after 2 years. We haven't talked with him in a long time, and he's done an awful lot, so we'll find out more about that. But when we go and have these recollections, Anil, a lot of times, I mean, I could have sat here and gotten real morbid and depressed and sad and saying, "Oh, I lost my friend and he died and this and that and the other." But I, again, it's like I was saying, I hear his voice in my head every so often, just calling him, "Hey, bald brudda," you know, whenever we would talk on the phone, even when we would text, you know, I would see the words, but I'd hear his voice. We used to have a whole lot of fun in this business in particular, but as friends, we went through a lot together. I'm just curious as to, is that one of the ways in which we can sort of bring happiness to ourselves? It might be short lived because, you know, as long as you're thinking and remembering, you kind of feel that, but once you stop, it kind of goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah, as human beings, we do everything for one reason. We have a nice car, house, money in the bank, for the security and the feeling it gives us. Everything that we do is for a feeling. So when someone does pass away or someone does go to another realm, we do feel sadness, but we really should feel and remember the joyous moments, the funny moments, because that's how they would want you to remember them, you know? And the secret is, whoever your friends are, make the most of them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you care for them. Tell them, hey, man, I want to thank you for being in my life. You changed my life. My life is enhanced by you. Don't wait.
Yeah. What is happiness from your perspective, defining that word, if we can?
See, happiness is external. What we're all seeking, we think we're seeking happiness, but what we're really seeking is fulfillment. Happiness is external. Fulfillment is internal. Motivation is external. Inspiration is internal. So when you bring anything internally, it means we have full control.
And why is an immediate happiness? Is that just bringing up those recollections, or can we do it in other ways?
Well, it's us taking control. So, Richard, if you just think of a magical moment in your life right now.
Okay.
Are you happy or are you sad?
I'm actually happy because you didn't specify which, and I figured, well, we're talking happiness, so I'll be happy.
Yeah. So that was immediate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So what we're good at, human beings, is we're good at stacking. So we tend to stack the negatives. But if we stack the positives, if I ask you to do 10 more, then 10 more, then 10 more, we build up that muscle. And then all of a sudden, in an instant, we can be happy when all around us is not so happy.
Interesting. I'm hearing that more and more, that we need to, and I'm not sure which is the right term here, but we need to get in control of our thoughts. We need to better monitor what we're thinking, what's going on in our brains. But I also was reading something the other day in reference to, for example, free will. And this was interesting because this gentleman says that we really don't have free will, because where we are, and this is a fairly familiar phrase or saying, we are where we are today because of the choices we've made in the past, and we will be where we will be tomorrow because of the choices that we make today. And our choices seem to be, for the most part, based upon the experiences that we've had in the past. And so it almost sounds as though there is no free will because the pattern's been set. But the pattern can be broken, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. The decisions that we make today will determine your future. So, Richard, if you decided to spend, say, half an hour every day learning a different language, in a month, 2 months, 3 months, you'll be in a different place. If you decided today to take action in your health, your wealth, your fitness, your relationships, everything will change. But as human beings, we're very reactive. We need to be more responsive. There's a big difference.
Well, I know that that this process of just living our lives, we have a lot of this, of external distractions, a whole lot of them. I'm going to bring it, you know.
We do. But we can get rid of them.
Really? Yeah. I would really like to get rid of them. Okay. Now, does that mean that I can petition our legislature to pass laws to get rid of those problems, that those distractions?
Well, the thing is, we let things distract us if we want them to distract us.
So this is this a conscious or unconscious or subconscious a process that we're doing to allow these things to distract us?
Well, it all stems from awareness. Awareness gives you clarity. Clarity gives you focus. Focus gives you action. Action gives you results. Results gives you momentum, and momentum gives you the everything that you want. You know, the fulfillment, the joy, the bliss. So let me give you an example. I've always had a car, and one day I thought, you know, do I really need this car? And I thought, no, I don't. So I sold it, and it felt so uncomfortable. Not having a car. Now I'm joyous. I don't have to pay for the gas, the insurance, the maintenance, the upkeep, where I park it, blah, blah, blah. It's joyous. And I've started to remove things from my life that I don't need. I wear the same shirt every single day, not the same shirt, but the same pattern. I've got 126 shirts. I don't have to think about what I'm wearing in the morning. I don't have to worry about that. When I pack, it takes me like 4 minutes to pack. So it's just a muscle and an awareness. So if I asked you, what's one thing you could let go of today that you really don't need? What would that be?
Okay. I'm going to have to ask you to be more specific of the question. Something material or something
anything.
Mental?
It could be, you know, I'm going to watch less TV.
Oh, I see. Okay. I got you. Yeah.
Anything.
Honestly, that probably an interest. You must be psychic because that probably would be one of the first things. It's like, what a waste of time that is. As much fun as it can be, there are other things I'd like to be doing.
Yeah. So this is really perfect. So imagine that you go back to your house. And the house is in pitch darkness. You enter the house. How do you remove the darkness?
Well, I'd flip on a light switch or grab a flashlight or light a candle. Yeah. One of the three.
So you remove the darkness by providing light.
Mm-hmm.
So to remove negativity, you add positivity, and the negativity will be destroyed. But a lot of people try to remove negativity when the thing is they have to fill it with positivity, the negativity will go away. So as you remove things that are destroying your life or distractions, but fill them up with positive distractions, you know, things that you love to do, things, you know, like I was coaching a client this morning, and she's doing 20 to 30 hours a week of things that she loves to do, as opposed to maybe a month ago, 1 to 2 hours. So she's upgraded her life by 20x. So once you start doing what you love, life becomes so much more joyous.
I can attest to that because this, which we are doing right now, is something that I really love doing. And I will, maybe for a couple of weeks, I'll just inundate myself with doing one interview after another throughout the week. And then I'll go 2 weeks and I'm going, oh my God, I need that fix again, you know, kind of thing. And so I can certainly attest to that. And then when we are doing that, which we really love, time just seems to either stand still or fly by, one of the two, because we get into that zone, into that space where time just doesn't matter anymore. And we just feel so good. And there's a biochemical reaction that's going on as well, isn't there?
There is. And three things happen when you do this. Time disappears, your energy levels go up, and you're joyous. So the only way to experience that is to experience it. But when you experience it, be aware that you're experiencing it and just go with it. Enjoy it and really immerse yourself in it and do more of it.
Hmm. Why did this become so important for you, this issue of happiness and wanting to share this with the rest of the world?
I was in a very dark place in 2008, November 2008. I was on the verge of suicide. I couldn't find a way out. And I've been in dark places before, and I could always work my way out. But this time, it was a tsunami of, the situation, the depression, the crisis, stock market, real estate, everything. But there was one thing that saved me, Richard, and that was I started to give. In the moment you give authentically, there is no pain and no suffering. And people just don't give. They give wanting something in return. But I promise you, just do 5 random acts of kindness today and notice how great you feel.
Hmm. It's something that we don't often think about. And in this day and age, we evaluate whether or not to do that, because we're judging the other person, saying, well, I don't know, they may not be of the same religion or the same political persuasion or whatever the case might be. And I don't know. But we see, especially during times of especially natural disaster, but also human caused calamities, We see people who come together and they do things for people that they don't even know. And they make connections that they never would have made otherwise. I think that's probably one of the most astounding aspects of it all, is those connections that are made, and sometimes that then last for the rest of their lives. That's just an incredible experience that I kind of wish, in one sense, that we could do all the time and not have to wait for the, you know, the upheaval and the challenges.
But Richard, we can do that. It's mm-hmm. just a muscle. And the thing is, we haven't exercised that muscle. I'm constantly doing it. I'll tell you a story. I flew into an airport yesterday, and I said something to a lady there, and I made her laugh. I made the team laugh, and they're all having a great time. I had no hidden agenda. I just wanted to make someone happy. And you know, we were talking in the car, and she told me a bit about her life, and it was an amazing experience, a beautiful experience. And that's the way we used to be. We used to be able to speak and talk to people without fear of what are they thinking? What are they thinking I'm trying to do? There's no hidden agenda, and it's just a muscle.
Interesting. In terms of exercising this muscle, obviously you've given us a couple of good examples, but let's say let's go into the context of the text of your book, Immediate Happiness, which is available through immediatehappiness.com, and begin this process, because a lot of folks, yeah, I mean, I consider myself a very optimistic person. Always have. I've always felt very good. I've always wanted to give, no matter how badly somebody has taken advantage of my services, you know, in terms of, you know, production and so forth, or just my friendship or association, I always want to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's like, I don't want to sever that. I hated going through my divorce, because I knew that the way it was going, there was no way that we were going to remain friends, let alone acquaintances. And I've talked with her a few times over the years, but that connection is kind of gone, and for various different reasons. But I find that rather interesting that you know we have those, I'm going to call them prejudices, if you will, in that regard. So talk to us about, where do we begin? What's one of the first best steps? Maybe you've already mentioned it, and we could just go further into it and then go on to the next step and so forth. But what's the first best step?
Okay, so there is a happiness formula, which is happiness equals G cubed. The first G is give. Okay, so we spoke about give. The second G is gratitude. You have to be grateful for what you have. So here's an exercise for all the listeners out there. Write down 20 things you're grateful for, and write down 10 things that you've achieved in your life. And as you write these things down, notice how you feel. So we're going to do a live demonstration here. So Richard, look at your hands. Do you see the back of them, or do you see the front of them?
Well, when I first put them up, it was the front.
Okay. Now look at the back.
Okay.
When was the last time you thanked your hands?
I hadn't really thought about it.
Yeah. What have they done for you?
An awful lot.
No, everything.
Okay, everything. All right, everything. You're right, because without my hands, we wouldn't be talking right now, because I couldn't push the buttons and slide the faders in the way that I do.
Yeah.
And the computer, I couldn't bring up the recording apparatus and so on and so forth, and Skype, which is how you're coming to us. I couldn't do any of it.
You couldn't hug the people that you love.
No, not in the way that we'd like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we take our hands, our eyes, our skin, our teeth, everything for granted. How much would you give to get your eyes back or your hands back? Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember a time I was on Richard Branson's island, and I slipped and fell, and I fell, and I had about 200 cacti in my left hand. I was upset for 1 minute, then I was joyous. Do you know why?
Because you were on Richard Branson's island.
No, that made no difference.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because it was my left hand. My right hand was my tennis hand, my writing hand.
Oh.
But that was a muscle I'd developed. Otherwise, I could have been very upset for the rest of the week.
Wow. You're right. You're absolutely right. And honestly, justifiably so, to be upset. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, it's like, well, you know, we didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. And so now what we're trying to do is figure out how to stay in that state. Or is that something that we really want to try to achieve? Do we really want to be happy all the time? No.
People tell me, Anil, you must be happy all the time. I said, no, I have my moments. I'm miserable. I'm upset. I'm really difficult to be with, but it's okay. I just need time to get out of it. And then I use the formula, H equals G cubed, and I find out which is my lowest G. And I say, oh, you know what? Today I'm not giving. That's why I'm a little bit ratty. Or today I'm not grateful. Or today I haven't grown emotionally. And the third G is you have to grow emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. Now, the great thing about this formula is whenever you feel down, one of those three G's is much lower than the rest. Always work on that lowest G.
Okay. When you first started putting the words to paper for immediate happiness, was there a moment at which you realized I need to be doing this? I need to be putting this into a solid form that people can get their hands on, so to speak?
You know, there comes a point when you're giving and you think, you know what, I want to impact more people. Then you ask your question, how can I impact more people? And then someone says, oh, Anil, you need to write a book. And I think, no, I can't write a book. Are you kidding me? I totally dislike writing. He said, no, you don't have to write it. You can speak it. I said, oh, I can speak it. Oh, wow. So that created a space for me to do that.
And how much of a challenge was it for you?
Oh, right. Speaking the book was easy. The challenge was my mindset, because I had the book sitting on my desk. I looked at it every single day and I thought, Anil, who are you to write a book? How dare you write a book? You know, you have so many grammar mistakes, and who would listen to you? But then someone said, Anil, it's not about you. It's about the difference you make. By you delaying that book, someone is suffering. And that's the thing that turned it for me. Because if you focus on yourself, it's always going to be painful. But if you serve other people, magical things will happen.
Well, it just seems to me like there's no question we certainly could use more happiness in our world today. I know that... Now I'm trying to remember you'll know the country. There was a small country that
Bhutan
that had instead of a gross national product, they had I'm not sure if they used the first word gross, but it was the happiness quotient, if you will, something along those lines. As far as you know, are they still doing that over there in Bhutan?
They are, and I'll tell you an interesting story. I met the previous leader of that country. And this is what he did. He gave up the leadership role because he thought someone else could do it better. Who does that?
Yeah.
Amazing what can happen.
That is astounding. That truly is.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm granted, you and I both know, we're hearing through the minds of some of our listeners, yeah, well, I wish the present guy in our country would do that. Okay. But something I came across, this is rather interesting, and maybe this ties in too with what we're talking about here today. I went through a couple of phases. Now, in September of 2016, I got sucked into the whole thing, and I swore I wasn't going to do that. I said, I don't want to waste my time and energy because it's just so volatile. I got sucked into it, right? It took me 6 months to get unsucked. And then I was able to get to a place where I was able to say, and it took me a while to actually verbalize it out loud. Thank you, teacher, for teaching me the way I don't want to behave. I used to tell people that if I behaved that way, my mother would be slapping my face all the time. She wouldn't put up with it. She just wouldn't. I know my mom. And I've told her that too. And she laughed and she said, you're right. And then I came to another space in late summer 2018. And again, it was very difficult to say out loud. I can say it out loud without equivocation anymore. I forgive you for dragging me into this I'm going to just swamp, this cesspool. And I forgive myself for allowing myself to be dragged into the cesspool. And I'm not going to live there anymore. And it has actually made, believe it or not, folks, it's actually made a world of difference. Because now I don't have that element in my life. And I do have to repeat it from time to time just to remind myself. But I find myself not being in those frustrated, angry, whatever, those states of mind that interfere with my happiness, interfere with what we were talking about earlier about doing what I love to do.
Yeah, Richard, forgiveness, and your listeners should write this down. Forgiveness is the express pathway to freedom.
Say that again.
Forgiveness is the express pathway to freedom.
Jot that down, folks. Forgiveness is the express pathway to freedom.
The quality of your life is dependent upon the depth and authenticity of the forgiveness you're able to extend to others and to yourself. Hmm. And you've experienced this. It's huge.
Yeah. But I've also found, too, it's not permanent. I have to keep doing it. Because if I don't, I can find myself right back there again. And it's more of a reminder, a mental reminder to my mind, in essence. Hey, that's not a road we want to go down. You know, we talk about choices on this program, and I use the analogy of a fog has descended on the roadway where we're walking. And we've walked this roadway every day most of our lives. And the elders have always told us, you know, you're going to have that fog, and all you do is you look down and you just follow the white line, which is the shoulder of the road. You'll be fine. You get to your destination. When you come back, you do the same thing. One day, the fog lifts, and all of a sudden, you see a fork in the road. And now, you get to choose. Do I go down that new path, that new road? Or maybe, I don't know, that seems a little scary because that's new and who knows what's down that way. But it could be something good. And I find that without reminding myself to forgive, that fog descends. And I forget about the choices that I've got.
Mm. And it comes from awareness. You become aware that, oh, you know what? I realize that I have to do something here. I have to make a choice right here, and I choose to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So awareness is so powerful. And if you exercise that awareness muscle, everything changes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is some extraordinary stuff. I want to talk further, especially about something that's coming up in 2019 for you. I think it's really exciting, and we are hoping to be a part of that as well. I'm Richard Dugan with Anil Gupta. He is the author of Immediate Happiness. Right now, this instant, you can have it. All you have to do, like I did earlier in the program, is just think of an event, a situation that you had that really that brought you a lot of joy and happiness. Lots of things are not coming to mind. I went on a cruise back in 1993. I went to Ireland twice. I mean, my God, that was incredible. Think about it while we take this break here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Welcome back. Anil Gupta is my guest, and we're talking about immediate happiness, and immediatehappiness.com is the website that you can go to. I also want to remind you, too, it would bring us a great deal of happiness if you could support the radio broadcast in any way, shape, or form. Go to the homepage or the missions page to read what we're all about, and at the bottom there's a PayPal link that you can use to support us in whatever way you feel appropriate. Any and all are greatly appreciated. We are not going to go down that road that I heard over and over again in my religious broadcasting days that if you don't contribute, we're going to have to take the program off the air. I swore I would never do that, and I won't. If I can't afford it, it's gone. That's all there is to it, but the archives will be there. So whatever you can do, and we'll even take energetic support. I don't care. I mean, if you can do PayPal, great. If not, send us some good energy, some good thoughts, some good ideas. Give us some ideas for guests that you think would be great for this program. We'd love to consider those because there are just so many people out there doing some great stuff, just like my guest here on the program today, Anil Gupta, who is talking today about immediate happiness. Does it really matter, Anil? Is happiness happiness? There aren't really necessarily stages thereof. You're either happy or you're not.
Really, you know, there are stages, and it depends on how much you immerse yourself into it. So, let me give an example. I had an ice cream yesterday.
That sounds pretty good. What kind was it?
It was about 7:30 in the evening. It was a place in Davie called Jackson's. Mm. Beautiful place. Mm-hmm. I was watching kids. And they were totally immersed in the ice cream. Totally immersed. And there's me not so immersed. I'm thinking, wow, these kids are really, really enjoying that ice cream. Same ice cream, basically. But the level of joy that they got from the same ice cream was far beyond the level of joy I had gotten. So thing is, sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we don't go all in because we think, oh, if I'm happy, something will happen. If I'm happy, it may not last. But in that moment, that's all there is.
Hmm. You know, you bring to mind my journeys to 31 Flavors back when I was living in Phoenix delivering newspapers. And in the summertime, my favorite was what they call baseball nut. It had cashews in it. Oh, it was like strawberry cheesecake ice cream with cashews. Oh, so good. And I can certainly remember that, and it was so great. Whether I got it in a cup or a cone, it didn't matter. It was just one. I mean, I can taste it now. As a matter of fact, I have to go now to the 31 Flavors. I'm going to leave you to finish the show for me, okay?
Okay. Welcome to the Anil Gupta Show here in sunny Florida. Guest has left us, but we still have a chance.
That's right. Keep the hurricanes away. We still have a chance. Now, you do talks all over the world. Give us an insight into one of these wonderful I'm going to say conversations that you have with the audience, because I'm sure there's Q&A at the end. But that's just the kind of guy you are. That's how you come across to me, where you're sharing all these wonderful insights, but say, hey, you know, give me some input here. I'd love to hear what you're thinking. Tell us about some of the conversations that you have with audiences around the world.
Well, I'm going to Toronto next week to speak with Al Gore. He's going to be on the same stage. So I speak about the same thing because that's all I know. I teach people, and the topic of my talk is balance, because a lot of people are not balanced. They'll spend so much time at their office. They'll spend so much time playing their sport, but they'll spend very little time looking after the people that they love, because they don't have that balance, or they spend too much time at work and not enough time looking after their health, so they don't have that balance. So you need to have balance, because if you don't have balance, it's not going to end well. Something will happen.
So I'm curious as to how maybe you start out one of these talks. You start out with a little story that people can relate to. I think it would be kind of fun to attend one of these lectures or seminars or workshops that you hold on immediate happiness. Do you find that people are they are getting it? They are understanding that it is possible, and you don't have as many pessimists in the group at the end that you might have had at the beginning?
Well, whoever attends my events absolutely fall in love with it. They get massive transformation. They see, and I use the word miracles, but they see people reconnect with their loved ones. They see children reconnect with their parents. They see a lot of forgiveness And with a lot of forgiveness, there's so much release of painful experiences. But really, you see that the problem is, Richard, we were never taught how to be human beings. We were never given a manual. And I teach people how we function, why we do what we do, why we sabotage relationships, why as human beings we're meaning-making machines. So, for example, if I call my wife and she doesn't call me back, I make it mean she doesn't love me, she doesn't care for me, she doesn't respect me, she doesn't honor me. That's what I make it mean. And all that happened was she didn't call me back. And then I build a whole story around it. And as human beings, we love to be right. Mm-hmm. So all of these things affect my relationship with her. So this is what we do as human beings. We make meaning to everything that happens. That's one thing. The other thing I talk about is it's not what you say, it's how you say it. For example, I would always leave the toothpaste lid off the toothpaste tube and I would never make my bed up because to me, if I leave the sheet open when I come home, I just have to put it back on. No, my wife has to make all the beds. So one day she said, Anil, would you mind putting the toothpaste lid back on the toothpaste tube? And I said, well, no, you know, I like it as it is. She said, honey, every time you do that, I lose love for you.
Hmm.
Wow. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
Yeah, guess what? I put the lid back on.
How'd that make you feel?
It brought awareness to me that, you know, my intention was not to hurt her, but I was hurting her. In her world, that was a painful experience for her. And this is what we don't realize. A small thing that we do can be a painful thing for someone else.
We've been talking in the last few years and even in the last couple of months on each of the programs this comes up, and I want to bring this up in this program. Talk to us about your perspective, your understanding, your awareness about the power of words.
It's immense. It's everything. You know, say, for example, I hear so many people say when they're leaving their spouses, hey, see ya, love ya. Okay? As opposed to, if I said this to my wife, honey, I want to thank you for being in my life. You've stood by me. You've put up with me. You've loved me. You caressed me. You respected me. You honored me. You gave me two beautiful children. I will always protect you for the rest of your life. And if anyone ever hurts you, I will kill them. I will give up my life for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm. Wow.
That's the power of words.
And so it's important, this is a question, so it's important for us not only to say things in a way that is understood by the other person, but also to choose the words we say, the actual words that we say carefully?
It's vital. And it's such an important aspect of our lives. It's better to say less. But we're conditioned to continue talking. But take your time, measure your response, measure the words, choose your words carefully. And as human beings, we hate to be vulnerable. So we won't say, I love you, I care for you, you mean so much to me, because we're fearful and we're vulnerable. There's no need to be. A child is not fearful of whether you love the child or not. The child is pure love, and that's what we've lost.
Hmm. I would take it that from your perspective in this regard, dealing with immediate happiness, that you're pretty optimistic about our future.
Well, I'm not optimistic. I'm responsible.
All right, explain that.
Okay. I create my own future. I create my own results. And we spoke about this at the beginning. The actions that we take will create our destiny. So I believe in taking responsibility for everything that happens to us. We have a choice how to respond or react. We have a choice to. So let me give you an example. If you have a glass of water and you fill it up halfway. Is the glass half full or half empty?
I'm going to say it's a half full.
Okay. A lot of people say half empty, and a lot of people say half full. To me, it's refillable. You see, it's not about matter of being optimistic. It's a matter of who you're showing up at that moment. If you start showing up differently, there's no need for optimism, because you will create the results by your actions and inactions.
Mm. You know, that's interesting, because I kind of get this way sometimes, especially in reference to elevators. Drives me crazy. I push the button and the elevator door opens, and I check to see if anybody's inside the car. Nobody's in there. I get in. Somebody's in there. I step aside and I let them get out. Now, I'm in the car. I'm going up to the floor I pushed the button for. The door opens and there are people standing outside the elevator, and they want to rush in. And so I move immediately to the front of the door even before they open. And as this starts to happen, I basically mutter under my breath loud enough for them to hear, "You cannot fill the glass again until you empty it." Interesting how it's refillable. And of course, the elevator gets filled with more people, and then they go on their journey. That is an interesting perspective to take. It's refillable. How did you come up with that?
I don't know. I had a conversation, and then actually there was an old Buddhist monk was talking about filling a cup of tea, and he says, look, when your cup's full and you put more tea in it, it'll overbrim. So if your mind is full and you add more stuff into the mind, it can't receive. So that's, you know, by reducing removing the car and watching less TV, it's emptying the mind to allow good things to enter.
Well, I have to say that it's something we're I think slowly starting to understand as a society. Although, you know, we sometimes I think, man, we got a long way to go, because it just feels like we're not really making much progress. And for me, that's sort of a frustration, and I'm working on that myself, in terms of just getting through day to day, and I take a look at the processes that are going on. I mean, I used to think that it would be great to have a job where you would start the day doing the work that you're doing, and by the end of the day, you were actually finished with the work, so that the next day you started fresh with something new. And in one sense, that sort of happens in radio, but not really, because it's a continuum. It just keeps going and going and going, and there's no end to it. Unless you choose to leave that particular station, which I've done on a couple occasions, unless you choose to leave the station and go pursue something else, and then somebody else picks up where you left off, it's kind of like you're holding this rope that's just slowly moving through your hands. Well, you can't leave because the rope is continually going unless you can find a replacement to take your spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought, man, it would be nice to just, you know, go in on a Monday and end on a Friday, and okay, work is done. Don't have to do anything this weekend, and we'll start fresh on Monday. But then again, life isn't that way. Life is a continuum. It's every day. It's building on the day before. It's building on the day before. Have you found ways to sort of build up? What do I want to say here? You know how there are certain situations where you sort of either build up tolerances for, or you build up immunities to, over the course of time, certain things. Is there a way to build up either a resistance to the challenges and the struggles that face us, to where for example, has it become second nature for you now, or do you still have those days where you actually consciously have to think about being happy?
I have my bad days, and I know why that happens. I let external factors affect me, and I get taken off my mission. But the thing that I find works the best, my mission is to move, touch, and inspire 1,000 million people. That's a billion people. If I'm going towards that goal, if I'm helping people, I'm in a joyous place. But if something distracts me, like paperwork or accounting or admin stuff, then it takes me off my path and takes me away from my joy. So the secret is find out what gives you joy. If you're making progress towards your goal, your mission, your purpose, then you're in a great place. So the pathway is to follow your mission, purpose, and passion, and remove anything that would distract you, anything that would take you away from that path. And you'll find it's such a smoother pathway to take.
Well, I have to say that the process in and of itself is the journey's worth it, doggone it, because it certainly brings about a whole lot more joy and happiness. In spite of everything that comes along, it just makes it a lot easier. And then you sort of infect other people in a manner of speaking, and not affect, but infect. I mean, it seems to me to be that way. You want to spread the flu? Fine. Spread this. Spread happiness. And it can be done, can't it?
Absolutely. Everything is vibrational. So if you change your vibrational energy to the... there is an exact frequency where you vibrate and where you're in the flow, everything's working. By you changing your vibrational energy, the people around you will start to change. And how you show up will dictate how other people react and respond to you.
You know, it's one of the reasons why I've basically, and I share this with people, you know, there's those old sayings that, you know, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Lie. It's a lie. Because words have power. And, you know, if they're said, as you've already elucidated in the program, if you say them in a certain way, it can do a whole lot of harm. And then there's another one that you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. Well, in my opinion, that's a lie. Just because of what you just said, Anil.
Absolutely.
It may not seem like you can do that, but the reality is that you can by changing yourself. You will. And I say that if you change yourself, there are going to be those who are going to want more of you, which is great. But there are also going to be those who are going to say, I don't like that. I'm going to get as far away as I can. Well, you've changed them because you've caused them to move.
And that's a great cleanse. Because you only want to stay around people who are on the same vibrational energy as you, who've got the same values as you. And sometimes we got to clear some people out of our lives. And some of those people are relatives.
Yeah, that's true. There are some relatives that we could certainly would be a good thing. Certainly would be a good thing to check out. Let me ask you also, you've got something coming up. I mentioned this earlier, but we didn't go too far into it. You've got something coming up in 2019 that we'd love to be a part of that we would love to share with our listeners. Can you give us a little hint as to what that is?
Well, actually, I mentioned one thing earlier before the show started, but there's two things. One is that my new book is either going to be called The Happiness Equation or The Happiness Formula. It'll be published on 22nd of February 2019, which is happens to be my daughter's birthday. But I'll also be doing a lot more events in and around all of the USA starting from January, February, and March next year. So look out for those.
And is there already a title?
It'll be The Happiness Formula or The Happiness Equation for the book. Mm-hmm. And the workshops will be Success, Leadership, Fulfillment, something like that. I haven't really decided yet.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. I noticed, too, on your website, you have some great photographs, some pictures of your family. Have they all sort of gone all in with this concept of immediate happiness, or is this just Anil's thing and they're having a great time with it? But, you know, that's your thing, Dad. We'll just follow along.
Yeah, I mean, they're very supportive, but my son has done over 1,000 talks for Tony Robbins, so he's on his own path. My daughter is studying optometry. She's on her own path, and my wife is looking after all of us, so she's on her own path. But we're all supportive of each other. I have a mission. I have a purpose, which is different to my wife's, my son's, my daughter's, and I'm not going to impose my will on them. I want them to do what's right for them, and I will support them, and they always support me.
That's exciting. That's great to have that kind of support. And it sounds to me like maybe your son, who's doing these wonderful talks and motivational speaking, sort of taken after you a little bit. Is that a fair assessment?
It has and it hasn't, because the way he's really a very professional speaker. He's got a very great presentation, and mine is more related to the audience. So I tend to be more responsive to the audience's needs. So I tend to do interventions, talks, and change my talk every time. But his is more like a keynote speaker, professional speaker type presentation. Mm-hmm. And Richard, if you have any people that have a group of people that they would like us to speak at, for young people, we'll speak for free. If you've got a group of young people, 100 or 200 plus people, we will come and fly and teach how human beings work, our belief systems, leadership, success, fulfillment. We'll teach them everything that we know at our expense, because that's our mission. And we're both on the same page on that.
You know how people work?
They do, slowly.
I'm just going, wow, that's astounding, because I haven't found anybody that really knows how people work. They just, you know, it's like it's hit and miss a lot of times, and can be very frustrating, and there's not a whole lot of happiness in that. But that's fantastic. We'll certainly pass the word through this program as well, and letting people know, and that's very exciting. And so, aside from the book coming out in 2019, any other speaking engagements that maybe people are listening in some of the areas of the country might want to avail themselves of what you have to share? Do you have anything coming up in the near future?
Well, I'll have my workshops. Most of my events where I speak are private, but I want to share something really exciting. So I want to get a football stadium full of young kids, and maybe 50 to 100,000 kids. During the day, we'll get 5 to 7 or 8 inspirational speakers. And in the evening, we give a rock concert and a pop concert and a rap concert. So the kids, you know, really have a great time. The tickets will be absolutely free, but they have to earn the tickets. The way to earn a ticket is they have to perform 5 random acts of kindness, and they have to write in what they did to get the ticket. Now, to get a VIP ticket, they have to take a video of the random act of kindness. So what we do with all the videos, we put all the videos together and create a happiness giving channel. And we put all the acts of kindness that are sent to us in writing. We write books. We create books that people can read. See, I don't believe in giving. I believe in teaching people to fish. So by teaching these youngsters that if they do something good, there's an amazing reward for them. And that will inspire them to continue that program. We do 1 city, 100 cities, 1,000 cities. We can create so much dramatic change on the planet.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like a lot of fun, and we're looking for that change. We've talked about that many times on this program. We're looking for those new ways of living, because the old ways, they're not working, not real well. Just look around you. And the thing that really saddens me more than anything, especially in these kinds of conversations, is when I take what you're sharing and say, oh, this sounds great. And then I start looking around me going, oh my gosh, look at all this division. Look at all this separation. Look at all this disconnect from one another. This isn't the right direction, you know, we need to be connecting, you know, I don't want any more natural disasters to bind us together, but obviously they're going to come. But, you know, if that's the process, then so be it. And we'll work together. I mean, I don't know about you, but I live here in Central California, and we've dealt with, you know, wildfires. I mean, I've lived here 11 years and I've been through 11 fires, and it's not fun. I do not like it. Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. I just have a real hard problem. And it's like, okay, so I need to move somewhere where I don't have to deal with this kind of stuff. And I thought, well, I could move back to Phoenix, which I swore I would never do. And it's like, well, yeah, now you got to deal with the heat. There was something one of my nieces posted on Facebook that said, hooray, fall is coming. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Because it's 100 degrees outside right now. And, of course, she lives in Phoenix. You know, yeah. So I'd have to deal with that, which I don't want to deal with. But, you know, it's like California or wildfires, earthquakes. You move further north into Washington and Oregon. You go to the East Coast. And now you got hurricanes. And the Midwest, you've got tornadoes. And, I mean, the list goes on. So it doesn't matter where you live. You have to deal with stuff. So it's now, okay, what's going to be my perspective? Well, how am I going to view all of this? I encourage people to pick up a copy of Immediate Happiness. Go to immediatehappiness.com and get more information. You also have three specific elements. You have three videos up on your website. And I want to, before we wrap up, I want to talk about those. I believe it's like the three G's. Am I correct?
Yeah. Give, grow, gratitude.
Yeah. So, I mean, all right, we all may know what giving is, what growing is, and what gratitude is. But I want to hear it from Anil. What, in your definition, what are these and how do they play into immediate happiness?
Well, you know, there's a formula if you don't give, if you don't grow and you're not grateful, there's something missing in your life. And it's a muscle that we all need to practice on. But the thing is, what's missing is that we don't have clarity. So anytime you're feeling low, look at the three G's, and one of them is always much lower than the rest. That's all you need to work on. You don't have to figure it out. It's so simple, so powerful, so fundamental. It conforms to all the laws of the universe. This one thing will make such a big difference.
All right, so grow.
Grow emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, give, and gratitude.
Okay.
Very simple.
Well, and again, I know it does sound very simple, but a lot of us, you know, we need we need those explanations. We need to hear from the expert, if you will. These definitions as you see them, because, as we said before, choosing the right words and saying them in the right way, sometimes people have different meanings for different words in that respect. Gratitude, that goes along with what we talked about earlier in terms of forgiveness, right?
Well, gratitude and forgiveness are a little bit different. Gratitude is, looking at your hands, the people in your life, the roof of your head, your friendships, whatever. Forgiveness is a letting go. And okay. That's really part of growing.
Okay.
Emotional growth.
So that's the difference there is yeah. Just that. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I remember asking one of my guests, they had all these wonderful steps and principles and ideas and concepts. And I sort of asked this question of you earlier, but would you say that from your perspective, your own self-evaluation, that you've sort of, you've made it, you've reached a level where, you know, it's easier today than it was yesterday, than it was the day before, et cetera?
Well, the thing is, people are trying to get somewhere, but there's nowhere to get to. They're living in a world, there's something missing, there's something wrong, and they beat themselves up. So really, I'm just being me. I'm just spreading the word, and it gets me to another place, which gets me to another place, which gets me to another place. I suppose it gets easier because I know this stuff inside out, outside in, It's frustrating at times because I want to help more people and I can't help as many people as I'd like to. So, I mean, I'm being human. I have my own frustrations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited about the prospects for the future because it seems to me that with people like you out there doing what you're doing and infecting others with this same wonderful inoculation, if you will, of happiness, that maybe we do stand a chance. Maybe we can turn this all around and we can be better people. We can make this a better place to live in and a better place for all of us to live and work together and play together. How about that? What about play? A lot of our corners of our society, we don't take time to play. How about you and your family?
Oh, we played yesterday. We were playing cards at this ice cream place. We were joking around, playing around, telling jokes. And this is what we did as kids. You know, play some cards, play some board games, go jump in some puddles, play some pranks. It was funny yesterday. My wife is a little bit scared of dogs, and there was a dog nearby, and I just tickled her on the back of her leg, and she jumped and screamed. It was so funny. You know, just be playful, tell some jokes, make people laugh at the funniest things. It's okay.
Now, she didn't get upset with you for doing that?
Yeah, for like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows I do that all the time, but she never knows when.
I will strike, but you will never know when I will strike. But it's all in love. It's all in love and play, and we're all just trying to, again, do the same kinds of things, and that is make it through this life in such a way that we can, you know, that we can thrive. Do you find that you and your family are doing just that? That you're thriving. You're not just surviving from day to day. Because again, a lot of our listeners, you know, we're just surviving. We're just trying to make ends meet.
No, it's the thing is, you have to take the focus away from you. If you start serving other people, you're always going to thrive because the focus is on changing other people's lives. Once you change one person's life, it becomes so addictive. When someone says to you, Anil, thank you so much, thank you so much, thank you so much. It may sound selfish, but I get a great, great, immense feeling from people that say that to me or when I help someone. But it's always about intent. My intent is always to serve. And if you have pure intent, that's all that counts.
And speaking of focus, is there anything that we haven't mentioned on this program that you would like to bring to our listeners' attention?
Okay, let me give you one sentence that will change everybody's life. And if you can, write this down and live it down. It changed me. Be so great that you cannot be ignored.
Be so great so you cannot be ignored.
And if you are ignored, it doesn't matter. So show up as the greatness inside of you. Show up as the great Richard Duggan. Show up as the great Anil Gupta. Show up as the great you. Mm. Be vulnerable. Be faithful to your greatness. And I promise you, magical things will happen.
You know, it's the third straight interview that the concept of this one scripture passage comes to mind. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I pondered that many years ago and came to the realization that it had nothing to do with being right or wrong or good or bad or had anything to do with good and evil or black and white. It had to do with just being. And that's what you're saying. Be the greatness that you are. Just be.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. Love it.
Anil, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program again. After such a, it wasn't such a long hiatus, but nonetheless, it's great to have you back with us. And we're so glad that you're doing well and the family's doing well. And we're looking forward to the prospect of, again, having you back in the new year to discuss further the concepts of of what we're talking about, and we hope that you will let us know when your book is out, and we'll have you back on the program to talk further about it.
Fantastic. Would absolutely love that. And I thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts.
And by the way, I was really wrong. It was actually last year in December that you were on our program.
Wow. Time flies.
It sure does. It sure does. Before we let you go, and I probably did ask these questions of you somehow in the context of the interview, but I'm going to ask these three final questions of you now. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And should you find yourself out here on the West Coast in the near future, we'd love to have you in studio to talk more about this.
It'd be my pleasure completely.
Thank you. First question is, who is Anil Gupta?
Anil Gupta is a ninja warrior, an unstoppable warrior, a freedom fighter that will move, touch, and inspire anyone who comes in his path.
I love that. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to inspire 1,000 million people. That's 1 billion people by December 2020.
Well, we're going to help you do that. And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to move, transform, inspire the planet so that we can lead richer, fuller, happier lives.
Anil, thank you so much again for sharing with us here on the program. It's been a great pleasure, and I'm looking forward to having you back again in the not-too-distant future, probably early 2019, to talk about this new book that'll be coming out. I'm sure that it'll be ready to rock and roll for February 2019. And again, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.